You know, when you go about your daily routine, you hear people that talk about, well, I'm a Christian. Everyone has some belief system in their life and they claim to be a Christian. Oh, that's the wrong sermon there. That's Danny Albini's tonight. So your invitation song will have to be out of the book. I don't want to steal Beanie's thunder. But now you got an idea of what he's going to preach on, so you need to be here. But we all have these friends that claim to be Christians. Regardless of what their belief is, I'm a Christian. And when you watch the political season roll around every 4 years at November, the news people talk about the evangelical right, that's who the president's trying to pull, or he's disenfranchised with the evangelical right. I want to suggest to you that being a Christian requires an honest assessment. You have to be diligent if you're going to be a Christian. You have to assess yourself whether you really believe the truth of the Bible, and that's how we find out if we're a Christian or not. So when I listen to people, whether it's on the radio after our radio program or whatever the case may be, and you hear these people talk about, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. And, you know, I've got friends that'll post on Facebook about going to church and how the pastor was preaching this and preaching that and the principles of being a Christian. And then the very next post, they're out dancing in a club the night before or whatever the case may be. You're not a Christian if you're living a double life. You're not a Christian if you don't follow the teachings of Jesus. The things that Jesus condemned, you cannot condone. The things that Jesus condemns, you cannot do. So the people in the world need to make an honest assessment of themselves, as well as we do, in light of what the Bible teaches about whether we are a Christian or not. In Acts chapter 11, when Paul was found by Barnabas and Barnabas brought him to Antioch, it says, "And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." A Christian is a disciple of Christ. It is a follower of Christ. In Acts chapter 17, verses 11 through 12, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women and men as well." People that are Christians are going to be students of God's word. They're going to search the scriptures. And a Bible investigation of the most frequently heard reasons of why people believe they are Christians is what we ought to search for sometimes. But this application applies to us here too. We talk about people in the world that, oh, they claim to be a Christian, and yet they don't dress, they don't talk, they don't live like a Christian ought to live. So what is a Christian? Who are Christians? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, "Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, and a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, you do not teach yourself." Isn't that an interesting question or an interesting statement? You, therefore, who teach another, you do not teach yourself. You want to tell people how to be a Christian, but you're not living the life of a child of God. He said, "You who preach that a man should not steal, you steal. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Paul says, if you're going to claim to be a Christian, then you need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Don't pretend to be a Christian on Sunday only. Don't be a Plan B Christian. Don't be a part-time Christian. Be a full-time child of God. That's what God expects. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. It's easy for all of us to claim to be Christians. But when I get around other people, do I still talk and walk and dress and act like a Christian? Or do I act like the people that I'm around? Paul would say also in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Are you testing yourself daily to see whether or not Christ is living in you? Are you failing the test? If you are, then you need to do something about it. I want to suggest to you today that we are not Christians just because we believe something about Jesus. In John 12, verses 42 and 43, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. See? Just saying that you believe in Jesus or believe something about Jesus does not make you a Christian. And this is exactly what we were talking about a minute ago. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, you've got to walk the walk and talk the talk. Here were many rulers who believed in Jesus, but they were more afraid of the Pharisees and didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue by saying, I believe in Jesus. James 2 and verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, it's more to following Christ than just saying, oh, I believe. Because James says even the demons believe and they tremble, they're afraid. It's not enough to just believe something about Jesus. I mean, even the Jewish historian Josephus says he lived a good life, he had good teachings, he made good contributions to humanity. You know, and it's more than just us saying that that's who Jesus was. I mean, even the denominations like Jehovah's Witnesses and Latter-day Saints and Pentecostals, all of them believe that about Jesus. So what separates you from them? We must believe the truth about Jesus. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we have the definition of faith. In verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Well, we could stop right there and that would suit half the population in this country who says, I believe. But notice it goes on to say, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you looking for God? Do you want him in your life? That's when your faith comes into play. That's when your faith is necessary. To just say, oh, I believe in God, then that's not enough. You have stopped short of the mark. I've got two grandsons that are playing t-ball right now. And they are a hoot to watch. Because when they hit the ball, you have to coach them. Drop the bat. Run to base. And then when they get around to third base, you have to say, run to me. Run to me. And they run up there and they stop short of touching home plate. And they think they have done so good. We were sitting yesterday, and our other grandson was beside us and pitching a baseball between me and him. And the older grandson come around third, and instead of going to home plate, he come up to the fence and made funny faces at his brother. But isn't that how we are? We get distracted in life. And sometimes it's by easy stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, by t-ball, don't you? But that's how we are in life. You have to touch home plate in order to be pleasing to God. You can't come up short and say, well, I made it this far. It's not good enough. We must have an obedient faith. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We've got to believe in Jesus. In John 8, in verse 32, He says, the truth will set you free. Do you believe? Are you willing to do what Jesus says do? And our faith has got to be an obedient faith. We can't just say, well, you know, I was there Sunday morning. Your neighbors look at you and they say, well, where were you at Sunday morning? Well, I went to church. Oh, that's good. Well, I noticed your car was home Sunday night. Wednesday night. Do y'all not have Sunday night and Wednesday night services? Did you stop short of home plate? Did you? You have to have an obedient faith. In Matthew chapter 7, in the last part, as man divides it up, see, of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He talks about those that come to Him and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we did in Your name. And what does Jesus tell them there? Depart from me, I never knew you. Just because you claim to do something in the name of Jesus, you believe something about Jesus, is coming short of hitting home plate. We are not Christians just because we're religious people. How many religious people are there in the world? Wouldn't it be religious people that blew up the World Trade Center on 9/11? In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, we won't read the whole passage, but in verse 30, Luke writes, do you understand what you're reading? Talking about Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 27, it says, and a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Philip is sent by the Spirit and says, do you understand what you're reading? His question was answered by the eunuch, how can I unless someone should teach me or guide me? The eunuch was religious, was he not? Said he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. Was he saved? So just being religious doesn't make us a Christian. I mean, you look at the rest of the world and the Muslims are religious, the Buddhists are religious, the Jews are religious. Are you religious? A lot of people say, oh, just go to church. That's all you got to do. Just go to church. And some of our own brethren say, they won't say it this way, but they'd say, all you got to do is get wet. Get your ticket punched, and you're good to go. Our denominational friends say, oh, I'll pay my tithe, I'll pray, and I'll say a prayer, and the list goes on. Just go to church, and that's all I have to do. Yes, Christians are religious. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. James chapter 1, James writes in verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You know what James just told us here? Pure and undefiled religion, based on this last sentence, is you can't straddle the fence. You have to live a faithful life. If you're going to be a religious Christian, you can't please the world. You have to do what's pleasing to God. And the object of our religion must be God. Not self. That's what we read in Matthew 6 and verse 1. And again, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You know, a lot of people, they do good stuff. But they do it so that you can go, Rosalie, you want to pat me on the back here? Man, I did a good deed. Come over here and pat me on the back. That's the wrong reason. Do your good deeds not to be seen by people. Just do it. And when you just do your good deeds, then your reward will be given to you by your Father in heaven. We're not Christians just because we live a morally good life. When you read the book of Acts, chapter 10, there was a morally good man there that was not saved. You remember Cornelius, the centurion? You know, when I study this passage, I oftentimes think that would be a good neighbor to have. That would be a really good neighbor to have. You know, he's morally good. He does good things for good people. He's always taking care of the people that works for him. Who wouldn't want to work for Cornelius except for the fact that he was a Roman centurion? But he lived a good moral life. But aren't the Hindus claiming to be moral? The Buddhists? The agnostics that believe you have to mix science with religion? Aren't there other people that are morally good in this life? So just saying that I'm morally good does not make me a Christian. And when you think about it, that's a false standard on which to base our salvation. Christians live morally per the apostles' teachings. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice what you've seen, what you've studied, what you've heard from the Word of God, and the God of peace will be with you." We're not Christians just because we're sincere. How many people that you read about throughout the pages of God's Word have been sincere and yet been wrong? Wasn't Paul sincere? Before he was Paul, he was Saul, and he was a great persecutor of the church. When he had letters from the Sanhedrin to go and get Jews, the Christians, and bring them back to Jerusalem for prison, for punishment. Didn't he say that I was sincere when I did those things? When Satan lies to you, is he not sincere? You think he was sincere when he told Eve, "You shall not die"? Do you think he's sincere when he tells you, "You can do that and God will still love you"? Do you think that Satan is sincere? I believe he is. You cannot be a Christian without being sincere. You have to truly believe. You have to truly be obedient. But sincerity doesn't wash away our sins. It just does not. We can sin, and sincerely believing we are doing the right thing. Look at Paul. Paul believed he was doing the right thing. Being sincere does not make you a Christian. I want to suggest to you that we are not Christians just because I've been baptized. There are a lot of people that have been baptized and all they've done is just got wet. Read about that throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 19, for example, beginning in verse 1, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through," Benny, here's your scripture, "having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." just being baptized doesn't make me a Christian. The passage here talks about John's baptism. It had no promise of the hope of the Holy Spirit. No promise of the hope of repentance. No promise of a belief on the one to come. It was not in the name of Jesus when they were baptized. So what was the proper method? Were you baptized under the proper method? Like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He stopped the chair and said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And the text says they went into the water. Travis did a good imitation on baptism the other night. The word baptized means to be buried. You might have been sprinkled or poured when you obeyed the gospel, when you were baptized. That's not the proper method. First of all, there's no biblical example illustrated anywhere in God's Word, Old or New Testament, where people were saved, baptized by sprinkling or pouring. What about the proper purpose? Why were you baptized? Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." That's both method and purpose there. Were you saved? Were you baptized to be saved? To wash away your sins and to put on Christ? Well, what was the proper result when you were baptized? In Acts chapter 2, we read at the end of the chapter there, verses 41 and 47, that the saved were added to the church. Have you been added to the church? Added to Christ's church and not a church that belongs to men. Have you been scripturally baptized? If not, then you're not a Christian. If you were baptized for the wrong reasons, then you're not a Christian. We are not Christians just because I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, that he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We live in a day and time, used to, you could drive down the highway and look at billboards. And I don't see as many as I used to, but it used to be, attend the church of your choice. You know what's implied by that? There are many churches, many ways for you to get to heaven. But Paul here narrows it down to one. One. Notice, and I'm not an English scholar by any stretch of anybody's imagination, but notice this passage. "And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church." Paul didn't say churches, plural. "Which is his body," not bodies, plural. There's one. But I want to suggest to you that just because you're a member here at Eastside does not mean that you're a Christian. We look at Ephesians 4 and verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling." When you talk about the church that belongs to Christ, it is possessive. Christ owns this church. Now, if you listen to the radio program this morning, this is not the church. This is the church. You are owned by Christ. This is just something that helps us to come together. It's a localized place for us to come together and have some semblance of comfort to where we can sit quietly, peacefully, and worship our Almighty. But you know, when we talk about the church of your choice, that's not biblical. It's not biblical. And when you think about church of your choice, church isn't important. And when people say, "Oh, where you attend is not important," that's not in the Bible either. Paul would again write in Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, "God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord." Eternal purpose. Jesus died for that eternal purpose. And churches of men are not constituted with Christians. We read Acts chapter 11 a moment ago. We need to obey the truth to be added to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. Now let's close with a couple of points. We're not Christians just because. Are we faithful Christians? Are we examining ourselves daily? Christians are saved from their past sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Are you a Christian? You are a Christian if you have obeyed Christ's plan of salvation. You heard the word. You believed what was preached. You repented of your past sins. You confessed Christ as the Son of the living God, and you were baptized. That's what we see in Acts 2. Verses 40 and 41, and with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people that day accepted that Christ was God and King and their personal Savior. That's what the world says, he's their personal Savior. But they accepted that Jesus was who he says he was. That Peter, who he said he was. So are you a Christian? Are you sure? Are you examining yourself to find out if you're a faithful Christian? You need to do that daily. Faithful Christians commit themselves to faithful living. Faithful Christians are going to be religious, moral, sincere. They're going to be active in the church, and the list goes on. James 1, 26 and 27. Does this describe you? You know, the whole question is, who are Christians? And we're not Christians just because we're one of these things. We're Christians because of all of these things. Faithful Christians are people that live by faith, obediently walking in God's words, living by what He tells us to live by. Are we faithful Christians? Are we sure? Are we examining ourselves to find out if we're faithful Christians? Because you see, faithful Christians are sacrificial. They sacrifice. Matthew 6 and verse 33, again, it's taken in the context of worrying about stuff. And Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things would be added to you. Paul would write in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he says, which is your reasonable sacrifice? What are you sacrificing to serve the Lord? Our priority should be Christ and His truth. We ought to be sacrificing everything to put Jesus first. But that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? We're not willing to do that. So if we're not willing to do that, are we faithful Christians? Are we sure? The book of Revelation tells us in chapter 2 and verse 10 to be faithful unto death. Now people will argue, does that mean faithful to the point that I die or faithful up until the time of the judgment? It doesn't matter, does it? Because when you die, your body ceases to exist. Shouldn't you have been living a faithful life up to that point? If the judgment comes before then, shouldn't you be living a faithful life up until that point? Are you a Christian? Are you sure? You want to know who a Christian is? Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Be a Christian. To be a Christian, you have to be faithful to Jesus. Are you a Christian? Who are the Christians? There's plenty of us around. The question is, are we one of them?